Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. An Odyssey station, the revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
The United States Senate last night passed a gun control bill, and I will tell you all the details about it. And yes, we're getting those red flag laws, which are antithetical to liberty and due process. Joe Biden has a note card. You got to wait till you hear what is on this note card. It's amazing. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it very much. 855-839-1210. Is the number for you to weigh in today on this Friday edition. I will be off next week, so thanks for being here, and we'll have some great time together. We'll chat, and we'll do all kinds of things, and then, get your reaction. Big case yesterday in the Supreme Court. I opened the show with it, spent some time on it today. The United States Supreme Court ruling in favor of the Second Amendment and your individual right to bear arms outside the home. And as the show progresses, I'll tell you what that impact is going to mean for the state of New Jersey. And what they're going to do. Are they going to fight it? Or are they going to go along with what the Supreme Court said? I will give you the answer to that. But first, let's check in with Dawn as we begin this hour. Good morning, Dawn.
And good morning on this Friday, June 24th. And Zeoli Show News Live, sponsored by the Piazza Auto Group. So we do have this developing story, a real tragedy happening in Philadelphia, as we are learning that an off-duty Philadelphia police officer was killed in a car crash just blocks away from his home, as he had ended a shift at work around midnight or just before midnight. So this happened maybe before 1 a.m. this morning, in other words. This is what we're told, that it happened at the intersection of Bustleton Ave and Renard Street in the city's Somerton section. Officer heading home after work. So this is around the midnight hour. Flew a few blocks from home. Officer is a veteran officer with nearly 30 years on the police force. So Chief Inspector Scott Small of the Philadelphia Police Department speaking out, talking about this tragedy. They're not releasing the name of the officer as of right now. We're still in the early morning hours, and they want to make sure that all of the officers, family, close colleagues, friends, community know before so that they don't hear us announcing it in the media, obviously. But here's what's going on. There is an investigation. Why? Well, because witnesses had reported that a BMW was speeding at a very high rate down Bustleton Ave. And in fact, that BMW T-boning the officer's vehicle while traveling there. So the BMW struck the passenger side of the officer's sedan. And at the impact, in other words, the officer was killed. As far as the 18-year-old in that BMW, he had two passengers, a 17-year-old and a 16-year-old. None of them suffered any serious injuries at all. So this is under investigation. They do not believe that alcohol or drugs in any way were a factor in this crash. So a real tragedy, as we learned that early this morning. We also have word in the city of Philadelphia, this new bill, the curfew for those 16 and over is usually midnight year round. For minors, 14 to 16, it's 10 p.m. And then for kids under 13, 9:30 p.m. So the city of Philadelphia say that curfews are the way to go. Will they even make a stricter curfew apparently that is one of the conversations, should they make it even stricter. So we're looking at that this morning and following the curfews in Philadelphia as they take effect for the summer. And then, of course, as Zioli alluded to, New Jersey officials reacting to the huge Supreme Court ruling on concealed carry firearms yesterday. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy speaking out. And we know that several Republican lawmakers in New Jersey applauding the court's decision, hoping it'll pave the way for more changes in state laws in Jersey, including friend to the Zioli Show, Senator Ed Durr of District 3. He'd already sponsored a bill that would eliminate justifiable need requirements and replace it with safety training for those who carry in public. So we're continuing to follow that story as well. Our Philadelphia Phils, a great night for our Phils. A late night. I mean, that game starting at, 9:40 last night, but they made it worth it if you watched. So, in other words, Phils, a 6-2 win over the San Diego Padres in San Diego. So Kyle Schwarber hit a two-run homer, and he's just on quite a streak. So an exciting win for our Phils, and we are back. So the slump is over officially for our Phils. Okay, get 1.9% financing for up to 48 months on those select new models like the 22 Passport and Pilot from Piazza Honda, Philadelphia, Langhorne, Pottstown, Reading, and Springfield. Shop PiazzaHonda.com for an amazing selection. NBC 10 First Alert forecast. Wow, what a gorgeous 3 days of weather in store. So today we're mid-80s, bright sunny skies. The weekend, 91 degrees for your Saturday and Sunday, all sunshine. Beautiful weekend in store weather-wise. This is Friday edition, Zioli Show News Live.
Thank you, Dawn. 855-839-1210. Yes, as Dawn alluded to, the state of New Jersey is now going to be, if they want to follow the law, as they should, going to have to change things because the New Jersey justifiable need standard for you to be able to get a concealed carry gun has to go. The court has essentially now said it is unconstitutional. Not essentially, they have said that. New Jersey's standard is just like New York's standard. It's far too restrictive. It's impossible for law-abiding citizens to exercise their Second Amendment right outside the home. And so it has to go. But will it go? Well, the Attorney General, Matt Plackin, says, we are reviewing. King Philip the Unaccountable says, we are reviewing. I imagine what's going to happen is somebody like my buddy John Drake or somebody else will today go and apply for a concealed carry permit and then will be turned down. Well, then we'll have cause to sue. And then a federal judge is going to have to come in and say to New Jersey, cut it out. You're in violation here of what the Supreme Court said. It's probably going to have to come to that, I imagine, because I just don't see the state of New Jersey going along willingly with this and complying with what the Supreme Court said. I don't see it, because remember something, Phil Murphy wants to run for governor, and the left, it's very convenient for them. Whenever they want to ignore law, they just do it. Remember years and years ago, Kathleen Kane, when she was attorney general for Pennsylvania, just decided that she was just going to turn around and say that same-sex marriage was legal in Pennsylvania, even when it wasn't. She just unilaterally declared that. And even people who supported gay marriage being legalized just thought that was just completely out of line. It's inappropriate for her to do that. But they love lawlessness when they pick and choose it. You know what I mean? So could I see the King Philip the Unaccountable, deciding that he is above the court, just like King George III was? Sure, I absolutely do. And him running around and going, no, New Jersey, not on my watch, New Jersey. We are not going to put up with this, New Jersey. I could absolutely see that. Because the guy's a tyrant, and he doesn't believe, he wants to run for president. And, they love this whole idea, the left right now, of ignoring the court. This is their new thing. You heard what Keith Olbermann said. That's the kind of people this guy wants to win if he ever wants to become a president of the United States. So Murphy is all, he's not going to be. I'll read you what he said on Twitter yesterday. Based on a deeply flawed constitutional methodology, a right-wing majority on the United States Supreme Court has just said that states can no longer decide for themselves how best to limit the proliferation of firearms in the public sphere. Okay? That's what the gov said. Let there be no mistake. This dangerous decision will make America a less safe country. But let me be equally clear that here in New Jersey, we will do everything in our power to protect our residents. Anticipating this decision, my administration has been closely reviewing options we believe are still available to us regarding who can carry concealed weapons and where they can carry them. We are carefully reviewing the court's language, and we will work to ensure that our gun safety laws are as strong as possible while remaining consistent with this tragic ruling. And Senator Ed Durr, as Dawn mentioned, responded to the governor by saying, "Dear Governor Murphy, I know you said the Bill of Rights is above your pay grade," which he did say once on Tucker Carlson. "I need you to understand that this is supreme law and that the Second Amendment is for all. Please read the 10th Amendment too. Hashtag add the trucker." So I guess the question is the left going to just allow lawlessness to reign? And are they just going to completely and utterly now, completely and utterly just ignore the court as they've done so many times in the past? Is that what's going to happen or what? So that's the question that I have today, because, you know, this notion of just ignoring the court is not like that is something the left is really toying with today and saying, well, then you enforce it. I'm not joking. It's a real problem today. It's a real problem. So Bill is in Ocean City, New Jersey. Bill, good morning.
Good morning. I was wondering, will this court ruling impact other arms like knife laws?
In what sense?
Well, a lot of states have laws that restrict what kind of knives you can carry around. In New York recently, about a couple of years ago, some young high school kid visiting had a folding knife in his pocket and was arrested and almost went to jail. So knives are arms. The Constitution says you can keep and bear arms. It doesn't, or does their ruling just focus on guns?
As far as I understand it, this is particularly speaking about firearms, and that in the context of what the Second Amendment says, it's regarding firearms, not knives, at least in the context of this. So that would have to be a separate challenge, as far as I understand.
But the Constitution doesn't say keep and bear guns. It says keep and bear arms.
Yeah, but at the time of the writing of the Constitution, arms were interpreted as firearms. That was really what they were talking about.
Well, they had battle axes and
okay,
and
I don't need
swords.
Bill, thank you. They had lots of things. Yeah. I appreciate it. I'm just telling you, the context of this ruling, it's going to affect guns. If there's a knife challenge based on this ruling, that would have to be separate. I'm just answering your question. We can philosophically debate what's an arm, but it's irrelevant to what the Supreme Court ruled yesterday. I'm just answering the question. It's clearly not what you want to hear. I'm sorry. It's why you hung up, but, you know, it is what it is, man. I mean, this was a challenge about concealed firearms. It was not a challenge about concealed knives. I imagine that if somebody were to, you know, if you were to try and go buy a knife and it was rejected and then you filed suit and used this as your precedent, you might have a case. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm just saying you might have a case based on this as precedent. But for the purposes of this case, they were strictly dealing with a firearm and a concealed carry firearm in the state of New York. Remember, the Supreme Court, this court is trying to be very, very narrow in its rulings and really not try to have these big grandstanding rulings. I know that doesn't sound, I mean, it's like, what are you talking about? They might overturn Roe v. Wade. Yeah, because Roe v. Wade did something. It wrote legislation from the bench and it created a new law that, you know, took away the rights of the states in an issue that the federal government has no say in. This law, they were responding literally specifically to the New York law insofar as it dealt with concealed weapons, concealed firearms, the kinds that go bang, bang. So there you go. All right. 855-839-1210 is the number if you would like to weigh in today and comment on anything else that we are commenting on. So the president of the United States has got a note card, and this note card says lots of things on it, including where he's supposed to go and what he's supposed to do. I kid you not. This is the craziest thing. This Biden note card. I mean, when I saw this thing, I thought it was a joke. I really did. I thought somebody put this out on the internet and it just became a thing. But no, it's everywhere. Even Newsweek has it. Joe Biden note card detailing instructions for the president revealed. And in this note card, it tells him exactly where to go and what to do. It literally has bullet points on it. It says, enter the Roosevelt room and say hello to participants. You, in all caps, take your seat, in all caps. I kid you not. And it tells him, in all caps, exactly what to do. And he held it up yesterday, accidentally, I guess. I don't know why he held it up. And it's got all this stuff. You will give this to the person. You take your seat. You depart. You thank participants. In all caps. It's literally telling him step by step what to do. Step by step what to do in the room. I've never seen like this before in my life. You talk to John. You, in all caps, you recognize Jane. You shake Bill's hand. You, in all caps, you depart the room. It's unbelievable. This guy is so gum, and they needed to put in all caps so he understands it's him. I'm not joking. They, you know, in the old days, they used to say the president or POTUS. They would have in all caps on the card, you know what I mean? And then the president, being of sound mind, would read it and know that that's him. I'm telling you, I worked in the White House. It used to say POTUS, or maybe in all caps, the president. And then you would have the sheet, and it would be a line-by-line thing like that. And it would have the order of events. Yes, the advance team would create order of events. That's not unusual. That part of it is not unusual. The president enters the room. The president takes his seat. POTUS shakes hands with so-and-so. POTUS goes to the podium. But the order of events is there. Everything that the White House does is scripted minute by minute. But the fact is that they took out the president and put in you, because Biden might look around and go, hey, when's the president going to talk, huh? No joke. I'm waiting for the president to take his seat. No, that's you, sir. That's you. Oh, that's me? This is like Blazing Saddles. This is Blazing Saddles all over again. This is Ernie Pantuso. Cheers. Hello, is anyone here for Coach? That's you. That's me. I mean, this is unbelievable. They took out president and they took out POTUS and they put in you in all caps. So he forgets who he is. I've never seen like this in my life. Listen, we stand with law enforcement on this program. We do in a big, big way. And that's why we are super excited to back the badge and super excited to have you as part of our Team Zeoli Army for the Back to Badge Bend to the Shore, the 35th annual Bend to the Shore. You just got to go to bendtoshore.org, bend2shore.org. We're going to raise some money for law enforcement. And it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a fantastic day. And you got a couple options here. July 24th, you can ride 65 miles, bike 65 miles to AC, or do the 30-mile option from Hamilton, New Jersey. Or you can do it virtual. What's your 65? Anything you want to do, you can record 65 of anything from June 24th to July 24th. Could be 65 times you tweet the show. Whatever you want to do. And if you're not a bike rider, if you don't want to do in-person events or whatever it is, you just do it virtually. But here's the thing. Put in my name, Zeoli. When you go to the bend2shore.org and you register, use my promo code Zeoli, Z-E-O-L-I. You'll get $25 off the cost of your registration fee. And if you want to just do something at the end of the line, meet me in Atlantic City. They're going to have a big after party at the Showboat Hotel. There'll be a dunk tank. The rumor is I will be in it. There'll be games. There'll be music. The Bud Light will be flowing like wine. It's going to be a great day. This is a day to stand with law enforcement and their families. Cops, firemen, EMS, all the people that protect us every day, each and every day, and their families when tragedy strikes. We'll raise money for them. The Children Behind the Badge Foundation is a great organization, and I'm so proud to stand with them. The 35th annual Bend to the Shore bike ride, a charity bike ride that raises money to provide necessary financial relief for the families of fallen or critically injured first responders and cultivate positive relationships and interactions between police officers and the children in the communities they serve. All right, so sign up today. Just go to bend2shore.org. Join Team Zeoli Army, however you want to participate, and use my code Zeoli to sign up. bend2shore.org.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
So much to think about today on this Friday after the historic Supreme Court ruling. You know, this is the first time the Supreme Court has had a major gun case that they've taken up in years. So it was a big, big, big deal yesterday. And then on the heels of that, the Senate voting last night on their gun control bill, which of course now is going to codify these red flag laws, which are so antithetical to due process and liberty. And I've spent a lot of time on those in the last couple of days. But, you know, I mean, the bottom line is this notion that you might be a criminal and so we're going to come and confiscate your guns, or you might be dangerous, or you might be somebody like this. I mean, it sounds good in theory, except all of the problems that go with it, including, of course, this idea that we've just decided your guilt without actually having a legal proceeding. And don't tell me that some judge signing a piece of paper is due process, because it's not. And also, too, I mean, how do the police come and get your guns? They, you know, they come and knock on the door and bring you balloons and say, hey, I got you these balloons. Now I just need your guns. You think, is that how it works, you think? Or do you think we're going to have some major, major standoffs with law enforcement and ordinary law-abiding citizens? And the other question I have, too, is that if the person's so dangerous they can't have their guns, are they going to, like, keep that car, that giant truck in the driveway, the axes? You know, somebody called about knives before, which are very dangerous weapons. Are they going to keep the knives? They're just going to take the guns? I don't know if I want this crazy person walking on the streets, to be honest with you, if they're that much of a danger to themselves or somebody else. So there's so many problems with the red flag laws, as you can imagine. But Biden is going after Title IX. I'm going to tell you about that as well. And we got him. We got him. The suspects in the killing of Sean Toomey. So we're going to talk about that, too. There's so much coming on in the hour of nonstop talk. Great audio for you as well. Your chance to win coming up later in the show. This is Friday edition. Don't go away.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So Joe Biden's got this note card. It says, you will sit down. You will do this. I'm telling you, you has lost it. Maybe you is his new pronoun. Has anybody asked him? Good morning. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Yes, Biden's note card. I'm thinking maybe he identifies as you. Has anybody asked him if that could, is a possibility? That new pronoun. You know, you got he, him, she, her, they, them, they, there. Maybe it's just you. It's unbelievable. This president is gone, man. It is gone. I'm telling you, I've been there. I've been in that room before. I've used these note cards. I've made these note cards. I have made these note cards for presidents and presidential candidates. And I'm telling you, it always says the president or POTUS. It never says you. But Biden doesn't know who he is. So the card that he held up accidentally, I'm guessing, it says the president on it, which is what normally say, offshore wind drop by sequence of events. You, in all caps, enter the Roosevelt room and say hello to participants. You take your seat. You give brief comments, press departs. You ask Liz Schuller, president AFL-CIO, a question. Note, Liz is joining virtually. You thank participants. You depart, in all caps. Now, I'm telling you, the standard operating procedure for this would say, POTUS enters the Roosevelt room and says hello to participants. POTUS takes seat. POTUS gives brief comments. POTUS asks Liz Schuller a question. POTUS thanks participants. POTUS departs. And then the POTUS would have a copy of that, like everybody else. But they have made him a custom one, so it's clearly obvious that it's him. You, yours. That's Biden's new pronouns. You, yours. How about up yours? All right. Sorry, I'm seven. The Supreme Court yesterday ruling on the Second Amendment on the right to carry a concealed firearm outside your home is so monumental and so huge, and I'm in such a great mood over it. The concept of individual liberty is something that we in this country, I think, have forgotten about. But there's a couple things to realize this, and there's a couple things to know. And thehill.com has a little piece here. Five things to know about the Supreme Court's ruling on concealed carry. All right, they have a breakdown here, and I'll share this with you. This is annoying pop-ups here, Dan. The ruling broke along ideological lines, as you can imagine. It was a 6-3 split. Justice Clarence Thomas writing the majority opinion, which was a beautifully written opinion. Chief Justice John Roberts, Justices Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. Kavanaugh also wrote a concurring opinion, which was joined by Roberts and Barrett, who filed a separate concurring opinion. Meanwhile, Justice Stephen Breyer wrote the dissent, joined by the court's other two liberals, Justices Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan. This ruling could affect other states' concealed carry laws. Most states are known as shall-issue states, meaning that applicants who meet legal requirements are automatically granted a permit, regardless of the demonstrated need, because they don't need to demonstrate a need. You're familiar with that in Pennsylvania, obviously. Although Thursday's ruling only directly overruled New York's law, Thomas noted in his majority opinion that some other states have similar restrictions to the one declared unconstitutional on Thursday. Thomas explicitly referenced proper cause standards, like the one in New York, and laws enacted by California, Hawaii, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and Washington, D.C. He wrote the following, quote, in 43 states, the government issues licenses to carry based on objective criteria. But in six states, including New York, the government further conditions issuance of a license, to carry on a citizen's showing of some additional special need, right? So in my opinion, there's no question here. This also applies to New Jersey. Justice Thomas specifically mentioned it in his opinion. They note how the court ruled that the government must demonstrate gun regulations are consistent with the country's historical tradition. Only if a firearm regulation is consistent with this nation's historical tradition may a court conclude that the individual's conduct falls outside the Second Amendment's unqualified command. Now, Adam Winkler, who is a professor of law at UCLA, raised doubts about the court upholding red flag laws, which allow courts to confiscate weapons from someone deemed a danger to themselves or others. A law like a red flag law, which was passed by the Senate last night, is a new modern innovation. There is no historical tradition of taking guns away from people who are in crisis. Now, I'm thrilled by that fact that the opinion actually alludes to the fact that they would consider red flag laws to be unconstitutional. A law has to be consistent with our nation's historical traditions. Remember something, as I said to you in the 6 o'clock hour, we had guns before we had government in this country, before we had our government. We had guns before we had our government. We were a bunch of armed, crazy people packing heat. I mean, literally, we were rebels, baby. Rebels who were going to take away and throw away the crown. We were crazy to think we could win this. We were a bunch of rebels. We didn't have nearly enough of what the greatest army in the world, the British Army, had. And yet we still said we're going to have our independence. And we said we'll have our independence, and we took our guns and we went out to prove it. And then after we won, we created a government and a constitution. In other words, the firearms predate the constitution. Constitution doesn't give us this right. We had the guns and then we created the constitution. We used the guns to beat the Brits. And then we said, all right, let's sit around and now come up with a document to write all this stuff down. And in the course of that document, we said, we're going to have these rights codified that the federal government understands what they absolutely cannot take away from us because they're ours and we're creating you. So we don't want you to now try to take away rights that are ours since we're creating you, government, not the other way around. The other thing, too, that came up in the Senate compromise last night is the boyfriend loophole, which is now called which, by the way, does not mean that you can sleep with your ex-boyfriend if you're 50 miles away from your current boyfriend. I know some people thought that that's what the boyfriend loophole meant. I believe it's 50 miles or possibly 100 miles, I forget, when it doesn't count. You know, or if you're at a girl's weekend, the boyfriend loophole. That's not what that means, by the way. I just want to make that very clear because some people were confused. Like a bachelorette party, that's not what the boyfriend, there may be a boyfriend loophole associated with that as well, but that's not what this boyfriend loophole is. This boyfriend loophole is this idea that now somebody who engaged in domestic violence cannot ever possess firearms if they get back together with the former girlfriend. So the professor at UCLA is panicking over the fact that this ruling probably also means the boyfriend loophole is probably also unconstitutional. So there you go. I think that the issue that we're all wondering about today is, will these red flag laws stand up in court constitutional? I do not think that the answer is yes. Justices back the Second Amendment, and they mean it. And they mean it. Justice Thomas explained the Second Amendment must not be treated any differently than the First Amendment or the Fourth Amendment or the Sixth. He said, when the Second Amendment's plain text covers an individual conduct, the Constitution presumptively protects that conduct. Remember Heller. Heller is the case that affirmed once and for all, you have an individual right to keep and bear arms. That was in 2008. The crucial case of Heller versus DC, or DC v. Heller, whatever it was. And it was a beautiful opinion by Justice Antonin Scalia. Just absolutely beautiful written, as he always does. Now we're at a point where Justice Thomas says, look, if we say you have an individual right, we don't then say you just have to keep that right in the home. Heller creates this balancing test, or really courts have created since Heller was ruled. And he says that opinion, in Thomas's opinion, did not invoke any means and test, such as strict or intermediate scrutiny. In other words, it expressly rejected any interest balancing inquiry akin to intermediate scrutiny. Bottom line is this. There's nothing about Heller that says you have this individual right if you need it, or if you can show cause, or no, you just have the individual right. Like you have the individual right for all the other rights in the Bill of Rights. No different than that. Nobody would ever suggest, for example, that you can only stay home and enjoy your First Amendment rights. Nobody should suggest that about the Second Amendment either. And that's great, because the Second Amendment should never take a back seat to the other amendments. It's great. It's a wonderful, wonderful ruling. And as always, I love the language that's used in all these things. I really do. But it affirms the individual right. It affirms that the individual matters here again, because that's why we have guns. We have guns to protect ourselves. Bottom line, it's not for hunting. It's not for skeet shooting. It's not. Those things are nice. But, you know, skeet shooting off the back of a cruise ship is fun. It's not why we have a Second Amendment right. And this was a very straightforward question. It's the same question now. If you're a New Jersey resident, you're going to be dealing with right now. And as Justice Thomas wrote, and as Justice Alito wrote as well, the exercise of other constitutional rights does not require individuals to demonstrate to government officers some special need. The Second Amendment's right to carry arms in public for self-defense is no different. New York's proper cause requirement violates the 14th Amendment by preventing law-abiding citizens with ordinary self-defense needs from exercising their right to keep and bear arms in public. No different than your right to protest in public. Your right to challenge your government in public. It's the same thing. And I know that people that hate firearms, to them, that is just gets crazy talk. Crazy. How can you possibly equate the two? Guns kill people and words don't. Well, actually, you have to just go with what the Second Amendment meant at the founding of the country. That's what you have to go with. And at the time of the country, there was no test to ever say to somebody, if you want to be able to carry, you have to show cause. Or if you want to enjoy any of your rights, you have to show the right to do so. Imagine if you had to write a letter to government showing why you should have the right to worship, why you should have the right to believe in the God you want to believe in. You imagine that? And the government then would say whether or not you could. You say, I want to worship as a Christian. The government comes back and says, no, we don't think you have the need to worship. We don't think you have enough problems in your life. We're not going to let you worship. Thanks anyway. Or you can only worship in your home, but we're not going to let you participate in going outside the home and worshiping. We're just going to keep it in your house, all right? Much of the dissent, Justice Alito wrote in his concurrence, seems designed to obscure the specific question the court has decided. That is not how the First Amendment works when it comes to unpopular speech or the free exercise of religion. It is not how the Sixth Amendment works when it comes to a defendant's right to confront witnesses against him. And it is not how the Second Amendment works when it comes to public carry for self-defense either. Now, in his dissent, Justice Stephen Breyer lists mass shootings, he shares suicide statistics, and he discusses domestic violence as if the court were a legislature, as if the Second Amendment didn't exist, and as if the presence of evil in American life magically negated the law. But it doesn't. And Justice Alito points out that much of that dissent seems designed to obscure the specific question that the court has decided, which is that you have an individual right to bear arms. You know, pointing out suicide statistics, pointing out mass shooting statistics and all of that, it's all well and good, but it's irrelevant. You know, it's irrelevant to the point at hand. It's irrelevant because the court's only question here is this an individual right? Yes. If it is an individual right, is it something that can only be enjoyed in the home without the express, unless you have the express permission of your government? The answer to that, of course, is then no. By defending New York's law on the basis that there is nothing unusual about broad statutory language that can be given more specific content by judicial interpretation, they made it clear why Thomas is so committed to the idea that while historical analysis can sometimes be difficult and nuanced, reliance on history to inform the meaning of constitutional text is more legitimate and more administrable than asking judges to make difficult empirical judgments about the costs and benefits of firearm restrictions. In other words, when you just go back to the history of our country and you look at what was then there and you base your judgment on that, the right of the individual to protect themselves, then all of Justice Breyer's points about 45,222 Americans killed by firearms in 2020 is irrelevant. It's not relevant to the question of whether or not you have an individual right. That's it. You know, that is the question. And the court did a wonderful job, I think, of relying on that and affirming that our rights are not something that we are reserved to the home. And this is not going to result in people shooting each other on the streets. This is not going to cause us to become the Wild West. We already are the Wild West from the colloquial term Wild West, not the historical term, because the Wild West was actually not nearly as wild as people think it was. But it has become that way in culture. And it's the Wild, Wild West, right? I mean, the movies and the books and the TV shows. But actually, Philly already is. New York already is. These places already are. Because of criminals with illegal firearms, not because of law-abiding citizens who conceal carry every day in Pennsylvania. And don't just start randomly shooting people. 855-839-1210 is the number on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. All right, it's Friday. We got a lot to do. We got some great audio for you. So on this Friday edition, let's do this.
What's on the cut sheet?
Friday, end of June edition. Greg Stocker, brand manager / executive producer / corporate show / Darth Lord oversight Lord.
What's on
Doctor
the cut?
No.
What's on the cut sheet this Friday is sponsored by Hint Water. Hint is pure water infused with surprisingly true fruit flavors, including watermelon, blackberry, cherry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in your local grocery store or at drinkhint.com. Drinkhint.com. Water. Hint water with a touch of true fruit flavor. Senator Elizabeth Warren was on CNN yesterday discussing canceling student loan debts. She says there is...
I'm sorry, who?
Senator Elizabeth Warren.
You mean America's mother-in-law?
Was on CNN yesterday.
Please give her the respect that she's due. America's mother-in-law. We don't want to be disrespectful.
So they asked her about canceling student loan debts. And even though we said yesterday that maybe this has something to do with inflation... because Karine Jean-Pierre said that nobody has paid a dime or a nickel. I forget which money currency she used. It was either a dime or a nickel in student loan debt if they didn't want to under the Biden administration. Maybe that has something to do with inflation. Senator Elizabeth Warren says it does not.
To support student loan forgiveness.
Yes.
Which I know you're a big supporter of. However, there are people who look at that and say that in and of itself could be inflationary. I'm just giving you the argument that people make. If you give people more money to spend, they will spend it, and that is inflationary.
So keep in mind that even conservative economists say, no, maybe it could be about 0.2% effect on inflation.
I'm sorry, I didn't know there was going to be any math.
That canceling student loan debt contributes to inflation, but here's what it does. It relieves the burden of payment for a lot of working families. Keep in mind that only 58% of the people who have student loan debt actually have a college diploma. That remaining 42%.
This is the way, you know what it is? Again, this is your mother-in-law's at the table. You're tuning out.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because you're thinking about other things and she's droning on. And now all you're thinking of is how can I get out of this conversation?
Yes.
What have I done?
Even John Berman was like, now this is not what I say, because he doesn't even want to get into the debate with her because, you know, she would just draw
two tenths of 1%. You're going, yeah, no, you're right. 0.2%. That's amazing.
Try.
But you know what? We got a game. We got to go. We're doing touch football in the backyard.
And
so
God bless them. But pregnancy, they were trying to work three jobs and couldn't hold it all together.
Yep.
They now earn like a high school graduate earns, but they are
right. Like dumbasses who can't go to college. Am I right? Huh? Nah. Nope. That's not what you're saying. All right. Okay.
And it is crushing them. Canceling $50,000 of student loan debt would be a huge relief.
Right. Huge relief. You know what else would be a huge relief? another bottle of wine. Chardonnay. You want Chardonnay with ice?
Of working people.
Okay.
And ultimately, I think we need to do more to make this economy work for working people.
Thank you, Mom. It's exactly what. So you said it's great. We gotta run because we got the game tomorrow, but we gotta go plan the tailgate. So,
America's mother-in-law also wants you to lecture you on. A big reason for the record high gas prices is actually price gouging, not anything else.
Let me ask you about some specific proposals, some the White House is already behind, some they might get behind. Number one, a gas tax holiday. Is that something you support?
Look, I'm deeply, deeply sympathetic to the fact that families are paying a lot at the pump. But I always remind myself on this, the last time that a barrel of oil cost what it costs right now, that gasoline itself was about $1.50 cheaper at the pump.
Yeah, it was. You know, and speaking of which, I got to go get gas for tomorrow's. I got to run.
It's about concentration in the oil industry and price gouging. Mm-hmm. But the president is trying to deal with these problems directly.
Rich, is this a crystal ball into next week for you?
Yeah, this is, sounds like my week, basically.
And I think that's the right way to go about it. I think what we should be doing instead of trying to get short-term pieces in is we need to look at the longer arc of what drives prices. And when it's price gouging, then we need to give our administration more tools to deal with it.
I say more tools. Speaking of tools, I got to go cut the lawn. So I'm going to go and I'm going to cut your lawn for you. That, since I'm up here for this week, I'm going to go with a scissor, actually.
When it's that we don't have enough workers, then let's get child care out there. We get 1.2 million women into the workforce if they had child care. We've got a lot of tools at our disposal. Those are the tools we need to be using.
Is that a yes or no on the gas tax holiday?
So, look, that's not the approach I would use. Okay. I would use a more systemic approach.
Yep, me too. Systemic approach, love it. Yep, me too. Systemic. So I'm gonna go and approach the system. There we go. All right.
Speaking of inflation, Jerome Powell the other day says, in hindsight, we underestimated inflation.
I mean, I want to be honest, sir, that the Fed, I think, underestimated actual inflation. What do you think you missed?
Well, we did underestimate it. With the benefit of hindsight, clearly we did. So it comes down to this judgment that we had to make. It has really nothing to do with our framework or anything like that. Every central bank had to make the same judgment, which was looking at the supply chain problems and, you know, the shock to labor force participation, millions of people out of the labor force. We had to decide whether that was going to be a lasting thing or whether it would kind of turn around quickly. You know, we had very high levels of labor force participation. Suddenly they're much lower. The thought was people will come back. As soon as COVID is over, we have these new vaccines. Every American is going to get vaccinated. We'll be done with COVID by the end of the year. So basically, these supply side issues, broadly speaking, just didn't get better. There were recurring waves, and that was the judgment we had to make. We knew it could be wrong, and I think when it started to look pretty wrong, we pivoted. And
now, President Biden continues.
Like 7 months ago.
So, in hindsight, you know, maybe they could have done more to stop it.
Maybe, in hindsight, exactly right.
The White House press secretary was on The View yesterday, and she talked about gas hikes, and she said that she referred to it again as Putin's tax hike, again. Is the term that they use a lot in this administration.
The president has been working for the past several months on doing everything that he can to give relief. We have to remember how we got here. What is the cause? You know, Putin's war, Putin's tax hike, has caused gas prices to go up $2 per gallon. That's what has happened since he amassed forces on the border of Ukraine. So the president has done some historic things by tapping into the strategic petroleum reserve. That's 1 million barrels a day so that we can help blunt that impact. He also called on the ethanol, making sure ethanol 15 was available this summer, which will help bring down cost across the country in thousands of gas stations. So those are the things that he has done. He's going to continue to look at other options and what else he can do to give relief at the pump to the American people.
There you go. I'm curious now if you're feeling that with what everything she just said, if you feel that relief at the pump today when you load up your tank for the long summer weekend or to go to the Jersey Shore. Probably not. My guess is probably not.
During the press briefing yesterday, the Deuce asked Karine Jean-Pierre, is that a choice? Is that the choice that this administration is giving the American people, a $5 a gallon of gas or a $61,000 electric car?
Okay, and the president yesterday was talking about this transition to greener energy someday. A lot of people can't afford a $60,000 electric car, and they also are having a hard time affording gas right now. That sounds like a painful transition. So how much of that kind of pain is the president okay with?
No, that transition, we are in a transition to clean energy. That is something that that is important. It is going to create jobs when you think about electric vehicles. It is going to give families some tax credits. It's going to be really important
right now,
to have.
If you can afford an electric car, the average price is $61,000.
Well, we're going to continue to move forward.
We're
going to
continue
to
raise gas prices so the average cost of filling up your car is $61,000.
That's a good point.
So then you just figure out, as might well buy a Tesla.
The bipartisan infrastructure.
$5 gallon gas or a $61,000
electric
car.
That is not, first of all, that's apples and oranges. It's not the same. What we're trying to do right now is to deal with an acute problem right now, which is why the president, again, asked for a 90-day suspension of the gas tax holiday. It is going to make a difference. Peter, we're talking about 18 cents on the federal level. We're talking about an average of 30 cents on the state level. And if the oil refinery does their job, if they do what we are asking them to do, which is put their profits back in so that gas prices can go down, that's almost a dollar per gallon. That matters. That matters. That matters to teachers. That matters to home health care aides. That matters to construction workers. That matters to plumbers. That matters to lifeguards. Those are the people that, and many others, who are going to feel this in a way that will give them relief at the pump. All right, we're done.
There, we're done here. That 18 cents a gallon is going to really help those plumbers who are spending so much more right now for the cost of their raw materials and filling up their tank every day in their vans. It's really going to help them. Really, that 18 cents when they're paying now five times the price for a PVC pipe is really good, if they can find it, really going to be a big help. All right, we're done here.
MSNBC,
we're done here.
An MSNBC guest says, look, about inflation, calm down. It's not as bad as you think. This was on Wednesday's Chris Jansing reports on MSNBC. Chris Jansing was talking to Washington Post reporter Michelle Singletary, who said, look, you white privileged people, it's not as bad as you think.
The inflation that we're dealing with, I mean, I read that to mean more than a third of Americans are so pressed by what they're having to pay for gas, for food, everyday items, rent, that they'd rather see a recession. Is that where we are right now?
You know, I'm just going to say this, and if I get banged for it, I don't care. There is a great deal of Americans where it is uncomfortable that they're spending more, but they are not going to go under. You know, you got to stop complaining.
Stop complaining, all right, about the cost of your hamburger helper going up. Stop whining.
This is the most out-of-touch, absurd take I've ever heard.
Yeah, it really is. Would you stop? God. Quit your whining.
people who literally the inflation rate means they may only have two meals instead of three. There are Americans who did extremely the last 2 years in the market. You still have your job. And yeah, it's costing you more for gas, but guess what? You're still going to take that holiday, that 4th of July vacation. You can still eat out. So I'm going to need you to calm down and back off, because it feeds into this fear, and then this fear feeds into people making decisions that creates the very thing that they're fearful of. And if you're in that category, calm down. Stop looking at your portfolio. And you know what you can do with all that energy? Help other people. Help put some food on the table in somebody else's house because you have extra.
Wow. There you go. Quit your whining and suck it up, Buttercup.
Wow.
Suck it up.
Over on CNN, during the Inside Politics, I'm sure you TiVo that or DVR that every day.
One of my favorite shows.
They ripped Joe Biden for getting rejected by his fellow Democrats over wanting to suspend the gas tax, basically calling it embarrassing.
Can you help me here that a Democratic president, his party's in trouble, he's in trouble in an election year, he has a major policy announcement, and his own party dumps on it within seconds?
It's almost like he should have like run it by a couple people, like call his friend Chris Coons, who's basically the Biden whisperer on the Hill, and just run this by them. But no, listen, some Democrats are expressing concern that this would hurt the Highway Trust Fund right after they passed all of these infrastructure projects. Also, there's no guarantee oil companies would pass along any savings to the consumers. And you know, you've got a lot of Democrats who are saying oil companies are at fault for all of this. So this seems, I don't know if there was a miscommunication or what this was, but it's clear this White House wants to do anything to lower the price at the pump, or at least look like they're trying to do something.
Yeah, look Should like it is key. They want to look like it. They're not actually trying to do anything. Let's not pretend here, okay?
Conversations maybe have happened in private beforehand. Part of Joe Biden's calling card was, I know how to get things done. This is the number one issue for Americans, inflation. Gas prices is a big piece of that. So is it not embarrassing to the president of the United States for his own party right out of the box to say, go away?
It's not great for this White House that a 3-second internet search turns up a Barack Obama video heaping scorn on the idea
which we
of cutting the gas tax. That's not great for them.
So even CNN is like, hey, maybe this isn't the best thing for you.
Yeah, even CNN's like, this is stupid. And the Obama video is also proving that it's stupid. So maybe they shouldn't go down this road. But hey, they want to look like they're trying something, huh? Am I right?
Rich, I know you were very concerned. Dr. Anthony Fauci came out yesterday, so he is okay from his battle with COVID.
Oh, thank God. Our long national nightmare is over. His asymptomatic mild COVID is over now.
Yes, he even says on here in this clip that he had symptoms for one day.
It felt like a million days.
He's back.
I had one day of symptomatology. I started on Wednesday on Paxlovid, and I was on Paxlovid for 5 days, and I have now finished Paxlovid, and I'm still feeling really quite fine. I think I'm an example, given my age, of what we're all talking about today. I'm vaccinated, I'm doubly boosted, and I believe if that were not the case, I very likely would not be talking to you looking as well as I look, I think, right now. So all is well with Fauci, and thank you for asking.
Himself in the third person. Is that a side effect of COVID? All is well with Fauci. That must be one of those COVID, those rare COVID symptoms where that happens.
All is well with Fauci. So I know.
Thank God.
You were worried. I got this from Libs of TikTok. This is a preschool teacher who talks about, I don't want to misgender. So I'm just gonna say, this preschool teacher talks about coming out as trans to her 4-year-old students.
Trans to her 4-year-old students?
I wanted that to sink in for you before I played.
Not 14.
No,
four.
No, four.
Gotcha.
Preschool. 4-year-old students. Here you go.
Today on the last day, I finally decided to come out to my kids. And my kids are older. They're 4 and 5.
They're 4 and 5. They're practically driving the mortgages. They're dealing with all these adult issues. So it's time for them now. 4 and 5. Now that they're older.
The way that I did it is just read them a book about this teddy bear that kind of comes out as a trans girl. And it's really nice. And it's very simple. They understood it right away. And I think what made me cry the most was that afterwards, like, I kind of looked at them and there was just a silence in the room. And I just thought, like, oh, my God.
Silence in the room. They had no idea what the hell you were talking about. Silence in the room. They wanted to know what time snack time was and nap. And one of them pooped their pants.
Where can I get the book about the teddy bear coming out as trans?
Teddy bear? Yeah. So a teddy bear who has really no gender because it's a freaking stuffed bear, but a bear, and a teddy bear now is going to change trans teddies, trans teddies. By the way, Good Morning America right now is doing a whole segment on guys kissing other guys, proposing to each other as part of their Pride Month thing. And they're just literally just showing pictures of guys just kissing each other. Is this some sort of like Pride ratings sweeps week or something like that that's happening at the moment?
Do you want to see anybody kissing, like any couples kissing?
Not this early in the day. I don't. Like... I don't need this kind of public display of affection. I really don't. I don't ever, ever. But certainly not when I'm having breakfast. Stop making out with each other. I'm sorry. Go on, Greg.
Please. Me. As a totally different person, and before this, they loved me. I was such, you know, one of their favorite teachers, and it felt so good to have that. And I think that's one of the biggest fears I had, is that as soon as they found out about me, they would lose all love for me. And then one of my kids breaks the silence, and she gets up, and she just is like, she just hugs me, and she's just like, everyone give Ruti a hug. And they all came, and they gave me a hug, and she was just like, we love you. Like, we love you so much.
Wow.
We don't know what the hell you're talking about, but we love you. And can we please have goldfish? Because we're 4 and 5 years old. And can we please watch Cocomelon? That's why there's like, you know what? If we tell her we love her, maybe she'll put on Cocomelon for us.
And yeah, it made me really emotional. And it was, boy. I think, one of the biggest moments in my transition where I truly felt like at peace with who I am, and that like even kids can understand it and even kids can accept me. And so it doesn't make any sense when adults can't, because if a kid can, why can't a adult understand and accept? And I've actually been having a lot of conversations recently about this, just in general, about this idea that like queer people are indoctrinating kids, and like that Texas law that's going to ban drag queens from interacting with kids. I mean, all of this legislation and these conversations coming up about it. And I just had a moment where I came out to my kids and they accepted me fully.
There you go. The crazy is real, kids. We're not making this up. The crazy is real.
So there you go. In case you were wondering what's happening.
To 4 and 5 year olds. All right. Very good. Thank you, Greg. 855-839-1210 is the number. And on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Listen, Emmons Roofing and Siding, my great friends at Emmons, fantastic work that they do with all of it. I'm telling you right now, when it comes to the roof, siding, windows, doors, you name it, that is what Emmons stands for. And now they are they're Anderson Window Certified now, which is fantastic as well. Anderson Window Certified. So that means that in all their window replacements, you can get 10% off all their window replacements. And what I also love, too, about Emmons is they're going to give you 12 months, same as cash financing, on every project that they do. 12 months, same as cash. Can't beat that. 12 months, baby. And I'm telling you, roof, doors, windows, siding, you name it, that is Emmons. That's what I'm talking about. Emmons Roofing and Siding. Windows, doors. I trust Emmons. You know why I trust them? Because they're a local company and they do great work. Great work for all of us in this entire area. And I think it's just wonderful because, you know, to rely on a local company is really important. It's really important for us to do. So you got to realize that you got to trust the company you're dealing with. And you can trust Emmons. Emmons Roofing and Siding. E-M-M-O-N-S. Emmons Roofing and Siding. Just go today, take a look today and talk to them about it. You'll be very, very happy. All right. Matt and Stephanie will make sure that you are happy. EmmonsRoofing.com, EmmonsRoofing.com.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.